take your Bible and turn to the book of Philippians in the New Testament, Philippians, and find chapter number 2, Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. Tonight, we're going to study the second part of a lesson that we started a few weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, I taught a lesson called Separation and Your Mind. And it was part one. And then we took a little break. We had our Thanksgiving service. And now we're going to go to Separation and Your Mind, part number 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. Would you stand with me real quickly? And I'm going to read out loud. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that we should let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is lesson number 26 in our series on the subject of separation. Let me pray for us and we'll get started. Father, bless us tonight. Your presence is so urgent and so important. God, this book is a spiritual book. We don't need to understand it our way. We need to understand it your way. So I pray that your Spirit would guide us. Lord, might your Spirit guide what I say. Father, then might your Spirit guide our ears and our minds so we hear or perceive your way. Tonight, might we be separated in our minds, separated in our thinking, because of the Scripture and its teaching, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I said this last week, and I'll repeat it. I'm even going to review real quickly some from the last lesson. But your brain and your mind are not exactly the same thing. Your brain, it's an organ, and your mind, it has to do with your thought processes, and I'm sure to some degree there is a connection to some of your emotions and things in that definition. But I am going to tell you some things about your brain. For instance, did you know your brain generates about 12 to 25 watts of electricity? And that is enough to power a low-voltage LED light bulb. So if you want to try it, go ahead. Put that in your mouth and just see if you can generate that light. Then, did you know that it's no accident that telephone numbers in the United States use 7 digits? And that's because our short-term working memory can hold, on average, a maximum of 7 digits, which allows you just enough time to look up that phone number and to dial it. Now, in this day and age, nobody pushes them in. They're all using their memories and their telephones and everything. But when they picked the 7 number phone number, they knew that was the number of numbers that the mind could grasp and hold on to, so that a phone call could be made successfully. Then there are 2,500,000 gigabytes of storage space, they say, in the average brain. Now, if I'm correct, the most advanced iPhone today is about 512 gigabytes. So 512 in your iPhone, if you've got an iPhone 10 or 10S, but 2,500,000 gigabytes of memory space in your brain. Now, some of you say, well, my kid doesn't have that much memory. I'm just sure of it. But the brain is an incredible thing. Your brain is phenomenal. Someone said if you laid out all of the blood vessels in your brain end for end, they would stretch halfway to the moon and back. That's about 120,000 miles. There's about 100 billion neurons in a human brain, which is about the same as the number of the stars in the Milky Way. The brain is incredible. the brain is phenomenal. What the brain can do, what the brain can accomplish. Now, the brain and the mind are not exactly the same thing, but the mind's amazing. When you use your mind right, you can do great things. You can do great things for Christ. When you use your mind wrong, you can do terrible things. What you do with your mind is going to make you or break you. It's going to make you or break you in your Christianity. It's going to make you or break you even in our society. The mind is a vast, vast territory, and we know it just fits in this little head. But boy, all the territory and what can be accomplished with the mind. Now you have to understand, because the mind is so powerful and the mind has so much potential, obviously the Lord wants to be in control of it. But then you have the enemy, the devil. He also wants to have control of your mind. And I believe one of the great, great battlefields of the Christian life is for the mind. We see on the outside certain battles that people face, but I'm just telling you, there can be a battle going on in the mind. It may look peaceful on the outside of the human body, but the battle of the mind could be raging. And the devil wages war to claim territory, and that territory is in your mind. And of course, Jesus wants to have control of your mind. The idea of separation that we've been talking about, I really felt like it was important that we understood. I think sometimes as an independent fundamental Baptist, when we use the term separation, we automatically think that which is on the outside of us. I think it, but there's the mind is so valuable. I think separation should be practiced on the inside just as much as separation should be practiced on the outside. Matter of fact, there are some that practice it on the outside, but don't practice it on the inside. I think we should do both. Now, there is more to this thing of separation than just being separated in your music, although you should be separated in your music. There's more to this thing of separation than just your clothes. And I think your clothes, there are elements of teaching in the Bible that talk about separation and clothes. I think we should be separated in our entertainments, and that's on the outside of us, and our friendships, and that's on the outside of us. Even religiously, if I might use that terminology, there is not everything that claims Jesus is of Jesus, and not everything that claims the Bible is of the Bible. And we are to separate from certain things religiously. We're to separate from certain types of conversation. We're to be separate in our marriage or courting or dating. We're to be separate in certain ways in regard to education. And I think next week I'll mention, probably have a whole lesson on this. We're to be separate with our money. There's a right and a wrong way. There's a regarding our money. But the Bible talks about the mind, and I think there is a... I think when we think of separation, too often we think of things on the outside of us. But I think we're to be separate on the inside. Your mind is your hope for spiritual success. What you do with your mind will probably determine what God can do with you. God's Word is to be the primary influence with our minds, and I think we need to be separate in our mind. Now, what I'm going to do, I think in a moment we'll know, but I think when we taught this a couple of weeks ago, lesson number 25, I think I taught 6 points on separation of the mind. I'm going to review them real quick, and then we're going to get into 6 or 7 more, and then we'll be done. Number one, last week or a couple of weeks ago, I said we ought to separate from things that will make our mind spiritually lazy. Lazy. Listen to this verse. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." They had a mindset to work. And I think you and I, as Christians, we should separate from things that will make our minds lazy, especially if they're spiritually lazy. Number two, we should separate from things that cause our minds to be detached from God. Now, let me read a verse to you. Isaiah 26, verse number 3, the Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Now, the word "stayed" there means anchored. And I think you and I should separate from anything that would keep our mind from being anchored That means solid, locked down for Christ. And believe me, the devil's out there trying to keep your mind from being anchored in the Bible. Keep your mind from being anchored in God. I want to spend the rest of my life with my mind anchored in the Bible. Let me go on. We said on the first part of this lesson, number three, we should separate from things that cause our minds to be hopeless or to have a lack of hope. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, 22 and 23 says this, I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Listen to the words there. It said, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. And I think that we should separate from anything that would cause our minds to be hopeless or that would cause our minds to have a lack of hope. You say, what is hope? Hope is the belief that there is good yet to come. Hope has a big element of faith involved in it. And I am telling you, there are people that will cause you to be hopeless. There are teachings that will cause you to be hopeless. I'd be careful how much news you watch. They'll have you hopeless. They'll panic you. The sky is falling. The sky is falling now. So be careful that you practice separation in your mind about the hopelessness or the things that create hopelessness. Number four, I think we should separate from things that cause pride in our minds. Pride in our minds. Acts chapter 20, verse 19, it says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. So God is telling us that our minds ought to be humble. We ought to reverence God and don't overly respect, I think you ought to be educated and I think you ought to learn, but if I were you, I'd not trust your mind too much. You say, well, whose mind am I going to trust if I don't trust my own? How about trusting God's? That's why He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I could not tell you how many times I was pretty sure my mind knew what to do. And just a few moments later, after I did the stupid thing, I realized, boy, that wasn't real smart. But my mind was convinced it was smart. And that will happen to you over and over and over again. I would separate from things that causes pride in the mind, because pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Then we said number five, we need to learn to separate from things that will cause our minds to be unstable, or anything that would cause you not to have a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That term sound there, it's talking about a disciplined mind. It's talking about one that has clear spiritual judgment and strength in that judgment. And so I would separate from things that keep you from being sound of mind. That's one reason why you go get drunk, you're not sound of mind. When you get high, you're not sound of mind. When your passions are physically out of control, you're not sound of mind. You're not anchored. You're letting your body make your decisions for you. But separate from things that would keep you from being sound of mind. And remember, the basic teaching and concept among fundamentalists is we are to be separated on the outside. But I am totally convinced you're to be separated on the inside and on the outside. They both go hand in hand. Then the last point that we taught last week, which was number six, I said we should separate from things that would hinder our minds from being Christ-like. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, we heard the verse earlier, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Often ask yourself, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do if He were in this situation right now? Now, we're going to get started with the new material. This is the second half of the lesson, or it's lesson number 26. And since we left off with point number 6 the last time, I'll start with point number 7 tonight as a continuation. Number 7. I think we should separate from things that will keep our minds from being spiritually willing. Spiritually willing. I think our minds ought to be ready. Ready and willing. Let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 2. And the Bible says this, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Your mind is to be a ready mind. Your mind should be ready and willing to fulfill your spiritual duties. Your mind should be ready and willing to live right. Your mind should be ready. That readiness has something to do with attitude. You ought to have an attitude that's ready to go for God, an attitude that's ready to do right for God. But that ready mind, it's a willingness. It's a part of our attitude. I think a ready mind is an eager mind. I think a ready mind is a cheerful mind. Now, you've heard someone say, God loveth a cheerful giver. I think God is talking about your mind has thought through the privilege that's yours to give to God, and your attitude is right about giving. And your mind is to be ready about giving. Your mind should be cheerful about giving. And ready, I'm sure, has something to do with obedience, but I think this thing of a ready mind has to do with our attitude. I think our minds ought to be ready to serve God. I think our minds ought to be ready to serve, to walk with God. So, if our mind is to be ready, then there are things that could be put in our mind to keep them from being ready. We ought to separate from anything that would hurt our minds from having a ready attitude. Just, you say, I'm ready to roll. Okay, you ought to have that attitude for God. And if there's something that's keeping you from having that, I'd get that out of your thinking. Get it out of your thinking. Okay, let's go on. Number 8. I think we should separate from things that limit your mind from being subject to the will of God. From being subject to the will of God. Let me read to you from Titus chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities. Here it said, put them in mind to be subject. My mind is to be subject. Now, subject. Subject means to be in a place of submission. Subject means that I am, if I'm subject to someone, I'm under that authority. And by the way, under that authority, willingly. So, I think someone that is subject in mind, they're able to follow. They're willing to be led. Now, we ought to be willing to be led by the Bible. I'm willing to be led by God. I'm willing to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm willing to be led. Children, I think that you ought to be willing to be led by your mom and dad. And I think we ought to be willing to be led by the leaders that God places in our life. Now, if God said our minds are to be subject, that means there are things that could be put into our minds that would keep us from being subject or willing or obedient, or the word is submissive. The Bible teaches that a wife should be submissive to her husband. And I know nobody talks about it anymore, but it's still in the Bible. And so our minds, though, we now be careful. You want to be careful putting things in your mind that ruins your attitude of submission. Parents, you can almost be sure if your kids are listening to rock and roll music that is ruining the submission of their mind, because it's rebellious music. Just like country music is. Somebody should have said amen right there. But your mind is to be in submission. And there are things that can be put in your mind that will ruin your submission. So, you're to practice separation in your mind. I wouldn't read books. I wouldn't get around people that are going to ruin your submission. Keep your mind away from anything that creates a lack of subjection to authority or submission to authority. So, we said we're to separate from things that would keep our minds from being ready. We should separate from things that would keep our minds from being willing. Now, let me go on. Number 9, separate from things that weaken your fervent mind. Your fervent mind. Again, I'll read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 7. The Bible says this, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me. Here the Bible talks about someone's mind being fervent. You say, what is that? Fervent means intense. Fervent, we talk about a fervent fire. It's talking about it's blazing, it's on fire. If you looked up a man by the name of Apollos, he's found in Acts chapter number 18. The Bible says he was fervent in spirit. In other words, this guy wasn't lax. He was on fire. He was driven. He was all charged up. He was ready to go. He had an excitement about him. Now, let me tell you something. If you've got some excitement about you in serving God and some excitement about your bus route or excitement about your soul winning or excitement about your Sunday school class or excitement about your ministry, you want to be careful putting anything in your mind that will limit that excitement. Do you know, there's all sorts of preaching out there that is virtually apologetic from the moment it starts until the moment it's over. Just apologetic for God and apologetic for anything that's right. I'm just sorry I got to tell you this. I'm sorry that you're supposed to live this way. Let me tell you something. You better stay away from anything that will take what little fire some of you have, which most of you, I'm just shocked you're alive at all. But if you had any fire, you want to be careful letting anything tamper with your fire because you need that fire. If you're going to live in this day and age for God. And it talks about the fervent mind. I've got to be careful not to put things in my mind that would get rid, minimize, or squelch that fervency. There are teachings that will do that. Do you know there are people out there teaching that there's no way you can have revival in this day and age in a church? I would not read their books. I would not listen to their sermons. I wouldn't want anything to do with it. Why? I'm not going to let somebody tamper with my mind like that. I don't want someone to make me believe that God can't when I know God can. And I'm going to promise you there are people that are just like that. I remember when I was a young preacher, I was told one day, I was told, it said, you're just full of energy, and don't worry, you'll calm down. I took it as a personal challenge to make that guy a liar. Folks, there's some of you. You used to have some energy about serving God. What happened to you? Why don't you have any energy for God anymore? Why is coming to church such a burden to you? Why is it you don't want to go soul winning? And why don't you want to serve God? And why don't you get excited? Why don't you say amen anymore? Something got in your brain and stole some of your fervency. I tell you, that's one of the reasons I'll go out and travel and preach, and some preachers want to get together and they'll want to gossip at a table. They want to talk about everybody. I don't do that. Why? I don't want something to steal. I don't want to steal the energy that is good and wholesome and right out of my mind. I don't want that. And so, the Bible talks about a fervent mind, which means this. If you can have a fervent mind, you can have a lazy or a lax or a mind that's not fired up. Let me ask you. How fired up is your mind for serving God? Is it pretty lax? What happened? Hollywood? Is it your music? Or is it your friends? What is it? Or your mind's just too busy on everything but God. Be careful. There is such thing as a fervent mind. Guard your mind. Separate in your mind. Number 10. I think we should separate from things that hold you back from the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Folks, I'm sure you all see it. All I'm doing is taking the positive qualities that are supposed to be in the mind, and I'm telling you, if the positive quality is a possibility, then the negative is a possibility. And God wants the positive, and the devil's going to go after the negative, and you better protect your mind, because if you don't, the devil will dilute the positive or challenge the positive, and you'll end up with a negative aspect in your mind. So your mind will be weak, because you've not practiced separation in your mind. I said, number 10, separate from things that hold you back from the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, the Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." If you start to get backslidden a little bit, God will try to get your mind back where it belongs. He wants to renew your mind. Don't let anything stop your mind from getting renewed. Let me apply this to a new Christian. You got saved recently. You got saved in the last year, or the last few months, or the last few weeks. Let me tell you something. You have thought a certain way. You have put a lot of things in your brain. God saved you. Now, when God saved you, that changed your destiny. You're now going to heaven. But it did not change everything you've put in your mind. And God wants to renew that. He wants to clean it up. He wants to wash it. He wants to... You have been washed as white as snow in regard to your standing with God and salvation. But you got some other issues that He wants to work on between here and heaven. And I have to tell you, you're going to have to be careful that you don't let things in your mind that keeps God from renewing your mind. Let Him renew your mind. Let Him fix your mind. Let Him clean your mind. There are certain things that I'll say and it irritates you. I'll mention rock and roll music or something like that. And you say, oh, just like a dog with water all over. Shake that off as much as you possibly can. You know what? When you ignore that, you're not letting God fix your mind. You're rebelling against God. The preacher's trying to tell you, you got some things in your mind that are going to keep you from being what you ought to be. And you've got to let God fix your mind. Clean up your mind. Don't put things in your mind that slows down the fixing of your mind. Let's go on. Number 11. I think we should separate from things that create disunity in our minds. Listen to this. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Man, a lot of pitiful people. But I'm telling you, be careful. You could put things in your mind that ruin spiritual unity. Be careful not to put things in your mind that create disunity. Let me go on. Notice it talks about being of one mind. Then in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27, it says this, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's talking about a unified being, having unity in your mind. Let me read you another verse. In Romans chapter 15, verse number 6, it says, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. You say, well, preacher, how in the world could any group of people have one mind and one mouth? Well, Philippians 2:5 tells you that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, if we would all agree with the Bible, we'd all believe the same thing. To whatever degree we can't get along, either me or you, one, we've got a problem with the Bible. But we should separate from those things that create disunity. Let me read to you again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Really and honestly, I'm a firm believer in memorizing Scripture because I think Scripture is so potent and so powerful that it will help fix parts of you that you can't figure out how to fix. I think there are marriages under the sound of my voice, you ought to be memorizing some Scripture about unity because you don't get along. And I think if you memorize a Scripture in an area of your weakness, I believe that that Scripture then refutes your weakness. I think a Scripture is like a spiritual antibiotic that gets into an infected mind and it can fight the infection. And some marriages where you just can't get along, maybe you need to memorize a Scripture that can unify. Maybe you need to memorize Scripture about, wouldn't this, listen to this, tell me if this wouldn't be good for marriages. It says that ye stand fast in one spirit,
one mind, striving together.
Wouldn't it be great if all husbands and wives would practice that? Notice it says that ye may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify God. Wouldn't that straighten up a marriage? How about this one? Be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Boy, that helps clear things up. You need to be careful what you put in your mind. The Bible teaches that we can be of one mind, in one accord. Well, if that's possible, then there are things that could be put in our mind or allowed in our mind that would create that disunity. So let's separate in mind from things that are bad for us or that keep us from behaving in unity. All right. I have another point or two, but let me remind you what we've said. We said we're to separate from things that keep our minds from being spiritually willing. Or if it hurts, having a ready mind, separate from it. Separate from things that limit your mind from being subject to God's will. And that's submission, if you will. Don't let things in your mind that destroy proper submissions. Next, separate from things that weaken a fervent mind. Don't let the devil steal your spiritual thunder. You need to have some spiritual zeal, some spiritual energy, some spiritual excitement, and don't let the devil steal that from you. Then I said, separate from things that hold you back from the renewing of your mind. When God's trying to purify your mind, when God's trying to better your mind or fix your mind or recapture your backslidden mind, don't allow things in your mind that would keep it from being renewed. Number 11. We're to separate from things in the mind that would hurt unity or that create disunity. All right, number 12. I would recommend, according to the Bible, that we separate from anything that opposes the purity of the mind. The purity of the mind. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds." Pure minds. Your mind is to be pure. A pure mind is accomplished by taking heed to the Word of God. You should desire pure thinking. Don't put bad things in your mind. Separate from anything that messes with your purity. And some of you, I suppose, may be able to understand this. But I can remember when I first got saved, there were no bad magazines available in my home or around my home for me to look at. But you know what I had to do? I had to stay away from the catalogs. Because in the catalogs, there were pictures that were not good for me as a teenage boy. What's happened to the propriety in America? Did you know that when someone shows their underclothes, that's nudity and that shouldn't be happening? Now, parents, you might say, well, it's just a catalog. You'd be shocked that young people look at catalogs. And young people are going, oh, brother, there goes my catalogs. Well, probably not. Most parents don't have the courage to do things like that in this day and age. But you got to separate from anything that will ruin the purity of your mind. Guard that purity. And let me tell you something about your mind. You may feed your mind a bunch of junk and you say, well, I've got it under control. There comes a moment when that'll turn on you and you won't have it under control anymore and it'll take control of you. And you'll regret the day you kept feeding the monster of the carnal aspect of your mind. You feed it long enough, convinced that you can put trash in it and it won't produce a trashy lifestyle. It'll take you over. You've heard the terminology for a computer. They used to talk about if you put garbage into the computer, then garbage will come out. Garbage in, garbage out. Well, your mind, to a degree, it's the computer of your life. You put garbage in your brain, sooner or later garbage is going to come out of your brain, and I say we need to separate in our minds. There's some things that should not be allowed in our minds. Let me give you one more point. You're tired, and I'll get you out of here. Number 13, separate from anything that suppresses your mind's drive for God. Your drive for God or for good. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." That's stirring up, stirring your mind. Don't let your spiritual mind become lazy. Keep yourself stirred for God. I'm not just talking about physical drive now. I'm talking about a mind that is hungry for God. Maybe that's the best way to put it. Are you hungry to learn the Bible? Are you hungry for the wisdom of God? I've met people that they're passionate about the Bible and passionate about thinking God's way and passionate about learning the Bible. Some of you used to be that way. I want to promise you the reason you're not that way anymore is you put some things in your mind that have stopped the stirring. Don't let that happen to you. Separate from anything that will eliminate or minimize your spiritual drive, your passion for the Word of God. We need stirred today. We need energy. We used the term earlier, a fervency for God. I started, and I read this to you. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture, and then we'll be done. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Then it said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Jesus was not only pure on the outside. Do you understand? For him to be the perfect, sinless, holy Lamb of God, he was pure in thinking as much as he was pure in body and behavior. Now, Christians work pretty hard to convince everybody that they're separated and pure on the outside. But folks, let me remind you, we need to be pure on the inside. Separation of the mind. Let's get ourselves separated properly. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First of all, if you're not saved tonight, we welcome you to the Savior. If you've never been born again, we're going to have an altar call. If you've never been born again, I would recommend to you that you get saved. Then, Christian, let's get our minds where they ought to be. I think there's somebody in here tonight. You need a revival in your mind. You're thinking, you're a fake. You're a fake. You come to church, you put up, it's all a front. Everything's a front. Because what's really going on the inside of you is totally contrary to the impression you tend to want to give on the outside. You need a revival in your mind. A mind revival. You need to do some separating in your thinking. Separating in your mind. 2 weeks worth of lesson on the mind. Remember, it is a territory that is a battlefield. God wants control, but so does the devil. I wonder if we could see the map of your mind, how much of the territory has been captured by the devil. Get it cared for quickly. Get it cared for. Who here tonight would say to the Lord, "I've been challenged. I see some things that maybe I could even work on in regard to my thinking and the separation that should take place in my mind." Would you let God see your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. We'll have an altar call. If you need the altar, I want you to come. The pianist is going to begin to play as usual. If you'll stand to your feet with your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you need a moment at this altar, you come. Oh, guard your mind, Christian. Guard your mind. Protect your mind. Separate in your mind. I'm sure glad if you're separated on the outside, but I think you ought to get separated on the inside. Oh, and there are those that don't believe on the separation on the outside. Well, I believe in both because that's what God teaches. Be separate in your thinking. Be separate in your living. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I don't think you ought to touch it with your hands. And by the way, don't entertain it in your mind. Every point of the outline for the two-week lesson tells us of a strength or a quality that God wants us to possess in our minds. All 13 points. But that also tells us that that quality will be challenged, attacked by the devil. He will try to capture that territory in your mind. Separate from it. Keep it separated. Keep it pure. Sanctify your mind.